Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Jose Candelario, and welcome to the Electric Drum. Today, we are speaking with Zan Walker, right? I got it right, all right? Because big family, so I want to make sure I got the right sister in the building.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about where you grew up and your parents.
Hello. So I grew up in New Haven, Connecticut. My earlier years were on Dixwell Avenue, and on a corner of Dixwell and Willis, actually. And so I went to the local schools, Martin Luther King, Lincoln Bassett. And then in my high school years, I was in the Hill. So I started at Hill House, but ended up at Lehigh. So I graduated from Lehigh.
All right. For those who don't know who Lehigh is, it's a school that was on Columbus Avenue back in the day. Yes. Tell me a little bit about your parents.
So I come from a single family household. My mom raised us. My father left when I was very young, so I didn't really have much interaction with him. And so there's three of us. I have a sister and a brother. I'm the youngest of the three of us.
Tell me mom's name.
Mom is Frances Branch Walker.
What kind of woman was she?
Ooh, Mom was tough, but I realized she was tough because being a single parent is tough. And I didn't understand until I became a single parent and realized, wow, parenting is really hard. So she was a strong woman. She kept us together. She great provider. And
You got a story that you remember growing up with mom? A little, misadventure or anything?
Well, I was the one always in trouble, so I always wanted to test mom out, and mom said, don't do something, I had to be the sneaky one and do it. So she always showed me that she was in control, with a little backhand.
Yes. We always pick up certain traits, right, that we carry through our life. What is one ethic or trait that you picked up from her that is still with you to this day?
So ironically, my mom and I have the same professions. We were both hairdressers, licensed hairdressers. Then we're both secretaries. I look very much like my mom. So when I look in the mirror, I don't see Zan, I see Fran. And I see a lot of my mannerisms are like hers. So some good and some not so good.
What other women were influential in your life? A grandma, aunts?
Fortunate to grow up with both grandparents, my grandmother and grandfather, my great grandmother, I recall, and on both sides, on my maternal and paternal side. And so my aunts, I have aunts that are local. So yeah, I've learned a lot from them. I have cousins that were very influential for me and my upbringing.
You said you went to school in a New Haven public school system.
Yes.
Any of the teacher educators pop out at you during the years?
I always think about Miss Thorpe. Miss Thorpe, I can't remember. Linda Thorpe, yes. I hadn't seen her in many, many years. And then some years ago, we were at an outing and I happened to spot her. And she was good. She was a tough teacher, but she, for some reason, she knew something about me. She knew there was a strong person inside of me, and just she kind of was a mother figure. Mm. So yeah, that was Miss Thorpe.
Anything that she taught you, any ethics or anything that she taught you that, to this day, if you do something, like, she pops up?
I just remember her sternness. You didn't play with Miss Thorpe. You were obedient. She said something, and you better not cross the line. So I just, that's like my, that's what I remember. Just you don't mess with her.
Seems that you'd be surrounded by a lot of strong women growing up.
Yes.
Mom was no nonsense. Is Miss Thorpe no nonsense?
Yes, absolutely.
And I guess yourself to a certain extent.
Yes.
No nonsense. Now, you say you didn't grow up with your father, but you have male figures in your life, right?
I would say my grandfather. He was the closest.
And I'm going to ask you, what's his name?
Joseph Leroy Branch Sr. Yes, he's passed on, but he was that male figure. He was grandpa.
You're a lady of few words, but grandpa and you share some time together.
Absolutely, absolutely.
What was your most fondest memory with grandpa?
It's so funny. We were just talking about this today. So I remember every Sunday him driving. We had a Sunday ride to the airport. And that was Tweed. Tweed is not like it is today. And that was our Sunday ride. We'd get out and we'd look at just the gate was there. So you can just look at the planes as they're leaving and coming in. And that was one. And I also remember we shopping on Saturdays. And so I'd make sure I would be with grandpa as opposed to grandma because I could throw all the good stuff in the cart and he would buy it. He'd fuss about it first, but then he'd still buy it. Yeah.
All right. Papa Branch. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. Now, after high school, do you end up going to college?
So eventually I ended up getting pregnant at a young age. So I have two children. They're grown now. So I have a 40-year-old Cherie and 41-year-old Keith Richard. And I have two granddaughters, Kariah and Rashaya. They're 14 and almost 18 years old. Hmm. So I went to school much later. I can't remember, but I ended up, I started at Gateway and got an undergrad degree there. And I was a bilingual executive secretary. We won't speak any Spanish, though. And then I... years later, I went on to get my bachelor's at Southern and my master's. My master's in 2015 in women's studies, and my bachelor's was a liberal studies. So I had psychology, Spanish, and computer science.
Wow. What made you go back?
Well, I felt it was... Well, I had an opportunity, actually. So when I was working for the state and the union I was in actually afforded us the opportunity to go to further education. So I took advantage of it. And I needed it. I needed to do a little bit more than what I was doing. So, yeah.
Sometimes we play in our own mind games, right? We psych ourselves out a little bit. Mm-hmm. How was it for you? Was it like a no-brainer or you had to say, you know, this is something that's going to better me? Because it's sometimes, you know, we think we got it all. We know it all. What was it for you? Was it a person or was it just a philosophy?
Well, I knew having two young kids... I knew I needed something. I needed something in order to get me a better job. First 7 years of parenting, I was on state welfare. So I felt like I needed to, you got to get it together. You have to, you know, what are we going to do? What are we going to, you know? So that's really what was my mindset, was just saying, the damage is done, so to speak, but now it's not too late. You can still do it.
Wow.
So that's really what kept me going. And then having the opportunity, I felt, wow, this isn't good if you just sit on a free opportunity. Because in the long run, eventually it became a free opportunity for me. So, yeah.
But you got to want better.
Yes.
Got to want it. I mean, and it's not going to be given to you. I mean, literally, it was handed to you on a silver platter, but got to reach out for that platter, right? The platter is going to be put there, but...
Right. That's true.
You got to eat from it.
That's true.
All right. You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. Very fascinating. You were on state at one time. We're talking to Zan Walker, by the way. I'm sorry. I'm jumping. This is the Electric Drum. I'm Jose Candelario, and I'm just enthralled by this story. I mean, as the perseverance is there. You were on state assistance. It's very easy to fall into that habit of, you know, you don't have to really work. And then those days, I mean, it was pretty substantial. Mm-hmm. Why wasn't that not enough for you?
So even though they were handing it to me, you know, I had the food stamps, they were helping with my rent, I was getting a bus card. The thing that drove me nuts is having to always provide all this documentation. And it just felt like nothing is secret or private. You have to provide all this information in order for them to give you. And I just felt like, I'm tired of this. And then as I looked around, it was so many of me sitting next to me, other single ladies with all their kids. And I also felt like there's a stereotype out for the young Black woman that, you know, all we do is have a bunch of kids and go on the state. So in my mind and in my worker, one of my workers, I felt like almost demeaning me, you know, when I wanted help with school, she had her supervisor come in and say, you know, well, what makes us think you're not going to fail? Well, I'm not asking to fail. I just need help. And so I felt like I had to prove to both of them that, you know what, I can do this. And so I actually became like a role model. So when I showed them my passing grades, she called in her supervisor and to show them, look at her transcript. Look, she got, so I stayed on the dean's list, and just to show them that I could do this and I wasn't going to be almost like what they were stereotyping us. You know, they're just having a bunch of kids. Hmm. So, yeah.
Wow. I mean, some people will be demoralized and, you know, blaming the man for mm-hmm. keeping us down. But you turn that into like a source of motivation.
Yes.
Wow. Do you share this story now with other young women, or do you think it gets lost in this generation?
Sometimes I do. I've learned there's a time and place to share your story. So not everybody, I mean, you just don't stand on the corner and just yell it out. But there will be an opportunity to share. I think that's why I find myself gravitating to the young women, trying to be an example, trying to encourage them. And just in any way, even if I see them, you know, struggling with school, just if I could just say a kind word to them and just to encourage them, you got this, you can do this. Look at me, you know, or just try to share something from my past that can go, wow, okay, if she did it, I can do it too. Yeah.
How were your first jobs?
So my first job, I remember it probably lasted a day, was at this fish market on Washington Avenue in the Hill. And I don't know if I got that job just to get out of the house because it was so laborious. And eventually I think he told us not to come back because it was, I didn't know what I was doing. We were sorting fish and it was cold. The hands got cold. And I think that could have been another thought for me to saying, is this where you want to spend your life working in a fish market like this? So that's the one that I really remember. And then I eventually, once I went back to school, my internship was at IBM. And so that was the preparation for me going into the work world, learning how to, your attire, how to talk, how to interview. And then once I finished my internship, I got My first real job was with the state of Connecticut. Oh. And I was a secretary for a little over 25 years. I worked with the state and in different departments. I started in DOC and then I moved over to the educational field.
What are some of those basic skills that you picked up? I mean, you already said proper attire, speaking. These are things that you're not normally taught. And do you find yourself teaching these basic skills now to, you know, the next generation? Because there's no more internships. they're paid now, so they're even harder to get.
Right. So a lot of times you don't really have to do a lot of talking. It's just almost living by example. So even if they can see how your attire is, you just, there's certain places you just can't just wear anything. So, and that's one of the things that we learned. That was part of my training, school training. They taught us, like, when you're interviewing, I don't know if they do it now, but, you know, you wore a dark color suit or, you know, slacks. And so that sticks with me. You know, if you're going to wear jeans, put a blazer on, just something that's, and you know, you just want to, I guess the thing is now what's appropriate and what's not. I mean, cause now it's just, oh, I could wear what I want to wear. Well, it depends on where you are. So again, I just try to just be an example and
yeah. It does work because, now people do Zoom interviews in their pajamas. Yes. Probably makes you cringe just the thought of it. So you worked for the state for 25 years, you said?
Yes.
And after that, what was your did you find yourself looking in other directions?
So I felt like there was more to me. More to me. Like what else is there? And during that time I started getting more into fitness. And so I started dibbling into like teaching line dancing, learning how to, first I took classes. And so I became a student first. And then I liked the results that I was getting from it. And so, and then I decided I wanted to give back. And
before that, let's go back a little bit because you say you did some hairdressing back in the day. I mean, times have changed, technology has changed. What was some of your favorite, you know, clients hairdressing, and how did you become a hairdresser?
I went to hairdressing school back in the early 80s. This is something a lot of people don't know, and so I was my best clients. I did my hair and some of those cuts, I kept the hat. I never worked in the shop. So I was one that you would call, I just carried a license. It was great for discounts, but I never pursued that, field. I just went through all the credentials. I went to the school. I took my license, got certified, but I never did anything with it, unfortunately. I mean, I did, like, maybe in the house, you know, friends, something like that. But as a real career, I didn't. Now, my mom did. My mom was really good. And that kind of runs in our family. We had an aunt that, Miss Frances Harrison, she was the first Black hairdresser, and she had her school. It was called the Modern School of Cosmetology and Hairdressing. It was on Newhall Street. So a lot of the older hairdressers went to her for their schooling. So it's a great history for us in our family.
Oh, okay. So you come from a long line, but not everything is for everybody, right?
Right.
Before we get into that, we are listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelario, and we're listening to the very interesting and intriguing story of Zan Walker. Now we know that it's deep-rooted in the Newhallville section. Yeah, I grew up on Bassett in Newhall, where there was like a little hairdresser right there on the corner across from the cleaners.
Mm-hmm.
So
that was it?
That was it?
Yeah, that was it.
And then, let me tell you, it was vacant when I was growing up. It was still there, but it was vacant with these old hair dryers and stuff that was still
that
in
was
there.
That was it. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Look at that. Look at that.
Yeah,
okay.
That was her school. That was, yeah. Wow.
Just to let you know, we're from the same hood. All right. So let's get, but not everything is for everyone, right?
Right.
But fitness is something that called you. And you say you were a student at first.
Yes.
How was the how did you find the transition from student to teacher?
So my story is it's interesting because I was always like a chunky, overweight kid. The queen of sweets. And then my sister would always try to encourage me. Different programs would come out in New Haven, and she was encouraging me to, hey, why don't you try this program? Try this. And then one day there was, it was called the We Win program, and they were offering free services. You just picked a different exercise for a period of time. And I said, I'll try it. So I did water aerobics, and I was like, I'll try this line dancing. She had been line dancing for years. So I tried it. And I liked it. And I liked it because it was like a no-brainer for me. And versus going to the gym where you got to go hard. And I thought, oh, wow, this is great. And then I found that I started to lose inches. And I was like, oh, this is wonderful. And so I just kept at it. And then next, you know, I started attending other classes. I think about 3 years in, I desired to want to start teaching because that was my way of giving back and encouraging others that were just like me, no real exercise background, very unhealthy, that, you know what, we can do this. We can work out by doing line dancing, and it was great for the memory. So yeah, that's pretty much how I got started back in the, I want to say maybe the early 90s. Yeah,
line dancing has come a long way since then.
Yes.
I mean, it used to be something that you did in the basement at the Elks.
Mm-hmm.
Now is mainstream. How have the growth, you know, affected you? Or what do you see? You know, how do you feel about the growth?
I think it's great. I mean, everyone is in it for their own reasons, but mine is still the same from almost 20 years as an instructor. My vision is still the same. My passion is the same as far as just wanting to encourage us as people.
As black folk.
Uh-huh. Right. Black folk, as my sisters, just to move, just to continue moving. And then my specialty now is with seniors. So I teach the seniors. I've been teaching since 2006. And watching them go into their zone and just where they can see that, you know, this is, they like it. You see their faces light up when they can get a hold of the dances and learn them. And then, yeah, so that's where I am now, just specializing in seniors. I also teach country. I teach all genres, but my two favorites the seniors, but outside of that, are gospel and country.
You take fitness. Well, before we move on, shout out to Sarah McLean, who's listening, because she's a great person. I see her every morning crossing guard over at Beecher. She's the one that actually pushed me to make sure that I get you on the drum. So shout out to her.
Hey, Sarah.
And she's also attends your line dancing class at the Dixwell Community Center for seniors that takes place every Tuesday at 10, 11, and 12. Look at that. How's that?
Yes.
I know your schedule just as good as you. No. Let's get into a little bit about your schedule because, I mean, you do a lot throughout the week.
Yes.
So let's go day by day. Do you take Sundays off?
Yes.
Okay, so let's start with Monday.
So I teach at six different senior centers. And so I'm in Hamden on Mondays, Dixwell Q House on Tuesdays. I'm at Atwater Senior Center on Wednesdays.
What time? We got to give time. So Mondays.
So Mondays and Hamden Senior Center. Hamden? That is 1 to 2.
Okay.
And Dixwell Pew House. So there's three classes. Mm-hmm. There's my regular, that's at 10. I have a beginner friendly that's at 11:15. And then I have a more advanced it's at 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. Okay. Yes. I got the times messed up. I'm sorry.
That's okay. And then then on Wednesdays from 10:30 to 11:30, I'm at the Atwater Senior Center. We do a little bit of line dancing, and then we do open dance. I'm their little DJ. I put on their music, and they get to do their salsa, merengue, their bachata. And then on Thursday, every other Thursday, I'm over at East Shore Senior Center. We start with cardio drumming, and then we do a little bit of line dancing afterwards. On Fridays, I am at Brantford Senior Center, and that is from 10 to 11, and then my second class is from 11:10 to 12.
Okay.
Then every other Monday, I'm also in East Haven Senior Center, and that's from 10 to 11. And every other Friday, I'm at Clinton Senior Center, and that's from 1 to 2. So I'm all over.
Of this, you have little fitness things going on. Like today, you say on Saturdays you do.
Yes. So I run on Saturday mornings from 9:30 to 11. I run a fitness program at Church on the Rock in New Haven, 95 Hamilton Street. July and August we're outside, so every Saturday we pick a site. Like today we did Long Wharf, but next week we'll probably do one of the trails. And just to give us a different scenery. And so that's in July and August. Otherwise, we're inside the church upstairs on the second floor. We'd start with an open gym. I have the room transforms into a mini gym. You can do a circuit. You can do the videos. And that's about 35, 40 minutes. And then we'll fold that all up. And then we do a little bit of line dancing followed by stretching.
We talked a little bit, time is flying, so let's get a little bit about routines, right? And we talked a little bit about variation, right? How important is it to switch it up, you know, a little bit?
So I exercise every day. I think I just do something different. I exercise a different part of the body every day so as not to get burnt out or injured. And so I think it's important to move every day. It doesn't have to be hardcore. If I don't have a full hour, I can't do anything. No, you can, if you got 5 minutes, give it your best 5 minutes. If you, a lot of times lately, it's been 30 to 45 minutes is my morning exercise.
Your morning exercise. And we talked a little bit about, you know, exercising first thing.
Yes.
And why do you find that important?
For me, a couple of reasons. That's where I have my best energy, and it's my me time. I want to start by taking care of me first, and then I can pour into you, the community. I feel like I need to take care of myself first.
You have a philosophy about walking the track and doing something mundane and monotonous every single day.
Yes.
What's your pet peeve about that?
So I don't want to get bored. And I find that if I'm walking the track, first of all, I lose count. I can't remember. Is this 3, 5? And then I try to like use my fingers. And then if I'll forget, oh, I forgot I was supposed to be counting. So for me, I just, I need to do something different. So for me, if I'm going to do a walk, I want to walk in the neighborhoods. Then I get to see the scenery, the houses, the animals or whatever. And so just so it breaks the monotony and makes it kind of an adventurous walk for me.
Changing the terrain, the elevations.
Yes.
I mean, that all, and even the way you walk. I mean, sometimes you high step, sometimes you can even walk backwards. I heard, you know, walking backwards is really good for the joints.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, variation is key. Dieting. I saw the other day, you just had veggies, everything was portion controlled. I was still hungry watching you eat, so, because it was not enough for me. How important is the diet?
Diet is everything. I learned, so about 6 years ago, a lot of people don't know that side of Zan. So Zan was almost 250 pounds. And I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I just decided that I needed to make a change. And fast forward, I joined Weight Watchers. And so Weight Watchers helped me learn how to make healthy food choices. And with that came, you know, portion control. I started to track my meals, measure. I still measure. I still portion everything out. I don't have to write anything down anymore. And this is 6 years later, though. So I lost about 60 pounds, lots of inches. And so right now I'm in maintenance mode, just applying everything that I learned to today. Mm. And I became a lifetime member, which meant I met my weight goal. And actually it happened right when COVID hit. So while others were panicking, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I'm going to gain all the weight back. I felt like I worked. It took me 13 months to lose the weight. And so I felt that, no, I worked too hard and we're gonna do this. And so I did. During COVID, I still kept my focus because I was determined I wasn't going to go backwards.
Determination, Zan Walker, I think that is the word for you. Determined to give back, to stay healthy, to be an example. I appreciate you. This has been the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC. I'm Jose Candelario. Again, line dancing champion herself, Zan Walker, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And to everyone out there listening, again, like always, thank you for listening.
Hey, Central Ohio. The Nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the Nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.